Don't worry, it'll get better. It'll get better. Don't you worry. It might get worse. It might get better. Have no fear. Jesus is with us. He's going to help us in all things. We have the hope of glory. Amen? Ooh. I get a new present. It's almost dead. Okay. I'll talk to you guys soon, okay? Just greet your neighbor for a moment. Tell them they look good today. Say you look better than last week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm back. What's up? All right. Anybody ready for the word?
Yes.
Did you come to church today, but you had church before you came to church?
Yes.
Okay, I hope you didn't just eat right today, right now. Right? You can feed yourself, you know. You got a Bible at home? If you don't got a Bible at home, we got plenty of Bibles for you. I'd love to give you one today. You can feed yourself the bread of life. But today, some of you came for milk, some of you came for meat, but we just came to get God's word. Feed us, Lord, feed us.
Amen.
My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here, and I just want to say happy December to you. Can you believe it? It's already December. Man, it's like, to me, it felt like this year was like real slow, and then boom, it's like going crazy. Like we're almost in 2023. That's crazy. It's wild. I'm getting older. Anybody else getting older in here? Anybody didn't raise their hand? You're a liar. You need to come to the altar. Lay it down for the king. He will forgive you. Hallelujah. Man. For the believers, that's just one step closer to glory. Amen. One step closer. But I don't know about you, I'm not ready to go before I see a great harvest take place in the world. Amen? God's got breath in our lungs. We got to share the gospel. No matter what, it's not our choice or our decision to see what they choose. Our call is to preach the good news and to go and share the love of God and to preach truth. It's up to people and how they respond, but if the church doesn't go, the message won't go. That's how God chooses to move in the world today, is through his church, by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe it, read the New Testament. Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to continue our Christmas Advent series titled The Heart of Christmas. We've been discovering the true meaning of this holiday season and the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that Christ brought to us through his miraculous birth. Last week, Pastor Mark, he's actually at another church preaching to fill the pulpit. That's pretty awesome that he gets to do that. But he brought a great word last week, and he kicked off our series, The Hope That Is in the Heart of Christmas. Anybody blessed by that word last week? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If there's anything, I don't care what you believe in, if there's anything in this world that this world needs is hope. I think we can all agree on that. The good thing is we actually have a hope that lasts. We got a hope that lasts. And we see that the faithfulness of God from his prophetic word about Jesus' future coming and the fulfillment of that word is in Jesus' birth. And that is our confident hope. No matter what we face, church, God is right on time. And will meet us in our time of need. Today, we're going to look at another aspect of the heart of Christmas, the wonderful offer of peace. So much of this current Christmas season seems to miss the point. Our neighborhoods and our neighbors, they focus on togetherness, but they fail to seek the baby in the manger. Our co-workers and our friends delight in the season, but overlook the hope of all the earth. And our family friends and family members are often more concerned about their stocking stuffers than they are about the desperate need of undying souls. To truly celebrate the heart of Christmas, we need to come back to the heart of it all, church. Can we find peace in the heart of Christmas? Now, peace as an idea. All right, throw me a peace sign. Remember LL Cool J? Like, do that. Roll this up. Man, I just dated myself. Some of y'all young kids are like, LL Cool J, what? Okay, my bad. That was not of the Lord. That was of me. Just so you know, that was Harris. Okay, my bad. Okay. I was born in 82. I'm like the 90s, and that's where that came from. I apologize. Please. Be a church of forgiveness. Praise God. But peace as an idea. It's immensely popular. We love talking about it. We love posting about it, dreaming about it, and planning for it. The decades of the 1960s and the 70s, they were hyper-focused on it. Despite its universal beloved status, peace does not mark our world. Now, we just did a common denominator series here at First Open Bible about the three major areas this world still does not have peace in. Now, peace even eludes and escapes those in the securest neighborhoods. Peace even eludes and escapes the richest of professions. Peace even eludes the most advanced nations like ours. Peace eludes us even when the world says, "You have arrived." In his 2009 NBA Hall of Fame speech, Michael Jordan called the game of basketball his refuge. He said this, "It's a place where I've gone when I needed to find comfort and peace." Now, a few years later, on his 50th birthday, the relentless remained. He had a candid interview with ESPN's Wright Thompson. Jordan pondered out loud, and this is what he said, quote, "How can I enjoy the next 20 years without so much of this consuming me? How can I find peace away from the game of basketball?" End quote. Now, we love the idea of peace, but very few fully know or experience peace. Even if the world says that you have arrived and or have reached the peak of life, I just looked up Michael Jordan's current worth. It is over $2 billion, right? So both for Michael Jordan and for even us, peace is not found in fame. It's not found in securities. It's not found in money. It's not found in loves. It's not found in basketball. It's not even found in things. Peace is only found in God's promises. You want to know his greatest promise? It's this. It's the promise that's found in his one begotten son during this first Advent season 2,000 years ago. But who is this peace for? Is this peace for only the elect? Is it for the rich and the famous? Is it for the ones that have arrived? Does peace only come when you have enough? Does peace only come when you've learned enough or you've given enough? I can only have peace if I've accomplished enough. Then I can finally have peace. I can finally retire and enjoy life. I can finally have peace in my family, in my life, in my mind, in my heart. Who gets to experience true peace? Did you read the end of this? So the Christmas story in the Bible, it begins with an unlikely group of people. Anybody unlike part of an unlikely group of people? Can I get a uh-huh? Yeah, whoop whoop. Come on now. Now, the first announcement of the arrival of God's Son in Bethlehem was given by a multitude of heavenly angels. And it was given to a group of shepherds who were out in the field watching their flocks to keep them safe at night. Will you open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 2, please? The New Testament starts with Matthew It goes to Mark, and then it goes to this guy named Luke. Luke was a doctor. He's one of my favorites to read about in the New Testament because I'm a guy of details, and he was a doctor, and he likes details. He likes it put in place. I like to understand what's being talked about. I like to be understood what's being wrote about. And so Luke chapter 2 describes something here that we're going to read this morning about this unlikely group. Luke 2. 8 through 14. If you go to the middle of your Bible, you go back about, I don't know, 10-ish more books, you'll be right there about Luke. Luke 2, 8 through 14 says this. I'm going to read out of the NLT this time. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and had the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounding them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." Okay, glowing ball of fire. Oh, God. That fire just talked to me. That's amazing. "But don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Verse 12. "And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, laying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, right? A whole bunch of fiery, flying, amazing, glorious, amazing things showed up. They're the armies of heaven. Actually, that'd be so amazing. Praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." Come on now. Shepherds, in the first century Israel, they were individuals who existed on the fringe of society. They were considered stinky, dirty, untrustworthy, and they were less than in society. They lived on their own for months, and they traveled with their flocks. So church, just think about this for a moment. It would have been shocking to the first readers of the book of Luke, right? Luke writes his book, and then he's either reading it or having other people read it, or after he passes, that book is then passed around, and these Jewish people are reading it, and or Gentiles, and they're reading this, and they read this, and they're shocked to see that these unlikely people God chose, right? That God chose to entrust these kind of people with this important message. The angels brought a message that was good news because a baby had been born who was the long-awaited promised Messiah. Hundreds of years of waiting. The one who was promised long ago to rescue God's people. The angels told the shepherds where to find Jesus, and before they left on their search, a heavenly host, a whole bunch more angels showed up and spoke over them, "Peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." Amen. Jesus was to usher in peace. But for who? And why? Who is God pleased with? Who has the favor of God? Remember, these are shepherds that most people didn't even want to talk to. They were the lowest of low in society. You just go out with your sheep. And when you find a river, please jump in it. And just... Thank you. Woo! Remember I talked about the 60s and 70s? Okay, never mind. I know. I'm sorry. Sorry for everyone who makes their own soap. I'm sorry about that. Okay. I'm moving on. Hallelujah. Jesus ushered in peace, but for who and why and who is he pleased with? Who has the favor of God? Could it be that the peace of God is for all people? Or It's the peace of God only for the selected few. Now, through all my years of reading God's word, one of my favorite things about this incredible story of how God brought peace to the earth, one of my favorite things, is that when God wanted to announce the arrival of his son Jesus, he did not do it in the presence of kings or queens. He did, and he chose to announce it, not to the ones who have arrived, not to the highest of high, or the ones that are the richest, or the ones that have peaked in life, that society says they are the ones. God chose to announce it to the poor and to the forgotten. God chose that. It truly is good news. Because if God's favor was offered to the shepherds, then surely God's favor and his peace is available to all of us as well. I mean, this is Sunday. This is shower day. Praise God. That's one step further than those shepherds. Praise God. Now, I have learned that the good news of God is for all people in all walks of life. No one, church, is too far gone. No one is too far dirty. No one is too far beyond the reach of God. Nobody is too sinful. Nobody has gone too far. Even on death row, you are not too far gone for the reach of God's grace and his mercy and his love. Jesus was born for the outcast shepherds just as much as he was born for Michael Jordan and you and me. Jesus was born to save those who may feel forgotten and who may feel alone. But why do we need peace anyway? Peace from what? Peace for what? Church, we need peace for the world's greatest need. The greatest need that is found in each and every one of us and everyone who's watching this. The world's greatest need, from the time that sin entered into the world through mankind's disobedience and his rebellion, the world's greatest need is that we are at odds with God and need to be made right with him again. Amen. That's the greatest need. Amen. Since the tragedy in the garden, mankind has been living in sinful chaos with no peace. The Bible says that we are enemies of God. Enemies. In our rebellious conflict against his rule and his reign, this sin has caused complete peace to be absent from our lives. Sin did not just stop at its destruction there, it also caused us to be in conflict with one another and to have great conflict within ourselves as well. Joel came up to me before and he was talking about how during this season we need to also bless our enemies right now. That Jesus came and he died not only for us and the ones that are saved or even the elect, he died for all, and we're to show God's love even to our enemies at this season. Sin has caused division and destruction between us and God, each other, and even in ourselves. This is why Jesus' birth was and is such good news. The promised Messiah is the ultimate answer to the division that exists because of sin. The brokenness between ourselves and God, within ourselves, and the brokenness between one another. This is the way that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote a lot of letters to a lot of churches, and I love it because he's also speaking to us this morning at this church. But he wrote this next section that I'm about to read to a group of early believers, and he wrote it in the book of Colossians in chapter 1. This is what he said, verses 19 through 22. He said, "For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God, you were his enemies separated from him by your evil thoughts and your evil actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Amen. Through Jesus' Christmas arrival, his death, and his resurrection, Jesus fulfills our greatest need. Jesus brings us back in right relationship with God. What did you do to earn that? How does this take place? Well, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. This promised child laying in a manger is called the Prince of Peace. This Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, he calls Jesus, hundreds of years before Jesus came into the scene, he calls Jesus this name when he is prophesying about the king who would one day come to earth. Now, it seems since the beginning of time, peace has eluded us, church. Now, we like to blame a lot of things on the devil. But guess what? You do a lot of things and the devil didn't even help you. You just want to blame somebody. Sometimes we get in the way. We get in our own way. We say or do things to create conflict in our life. We put ourselves above others. We sacrifice our love or our respect for others for the love and respect of ourselves. This Advent season, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not hoping for things like new clothes. Although some of y'all need some new socks and underwear. Walmart and Target are open all the time. Just go get it, okay? Don't wait for Christmas. You need it now. But if we're honest, we're not hoping for things like new clothes and the latest tech gadgets or another disgusting fruitcake. If you can take a treat and throw it through a window, you shouldn't eat it. Hallelujah. Woo! Wisdom in the house of God. Can I get an amen? Huh? No. Okay, I didn't think so. Here's what we're really hoping for. That mom and dad would get along. I'm hoping we'd get out of debt. I'm hoping my broken heart would be mended. I'm hoping that I'd be cancer free. I'm hoping and I'm praying for peace in this nation. I'm praying and hoping this season that the bickering at home would end. In other words, church, what we're really longing for is peace. True and lasting peace. Do you know Jesus promised to be that for us? It's in his word in John 14, 27. He says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." Praise God for that. Amen. "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The reason the promise of the Prince of Peace will hold is because the gospel is bigger than the nativity scene. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace because apart from him and his sacrifice on a cross, we would still be in our sin and be enemies of a holy God. The baby in a manger didn't stay there. After all, he grew up and obeyed his father to the point of death, even death on a cross. Suspended on Roman wood, he made peace between God and peace with man. The cross of Christ was the bridge God provided to lead us back into peace with God again. Jesus removed the separation from God, and our rebellion caused this separation. But Jesus made it possible for us to be restored to our Creator once again on account of his perfect righteousness. We access the peace of God when we surrender to the Prince of Peace. When the Prince has his rightful place on the throne of our heart, church, it is then Jesus will bring peace into every area of our lives. Why? Because we will once again be on God's side. There's no other religion that teaches anything like this. No other belief has the hero dying for the villain to usher in peace. Other religions, they insist in some form or another that you must achieve this peace with God. You need to pay some sort of penance. You have to empty yourself out, or you must work hard enough, then maybe, just maybe, you can achieve peace or enlightenment with God and with man. But let me tell you, church, we can never do enough or be enough, because as a sinner, you're the problem in the equation. You are not the solution. Come on now. If you want to experience the peace of God, you must know the God of peace. And if you want to know the God of peace, you must embrace his one and only begotten Son, the promised Messiah, who was born in a manger. Real peace is not found in a basketball arena or in a Hall of Fame ceremony. It's not found in a successful job or in a secure neighborhood. It's not found in food. It's not found in exercise. It's not found in travel. It's not found in wonderful holiday cheer. It's not even found in your loved ones. It's not found in a vibrant ministry either. Church peace is only found in the Prince of it. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. This is the Old Testament prophet that I was talking about. This is what he said. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. Ooh, we need that now, God. Ooh. Oh. Definition, a hot mess. Okay. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all of eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Amen. Now, as we start to finish up, church, let's go back to the shepherds. This peace that the angels proclaimed to the outcast shepherds long ago was not a proclamation of world peace, right? Peace in the Middle East, remember that? It's not a declaration to end all strife and war in this broken world. Jesus even said, you're going to have many trials and tribulations. I know a lot of believers like to say, as soon as I have Jesus, I can just pray myself out of every trial and tribulation. Jesus himself said, you're going to have trials and tribulations. If you want to believe God's words, you got to believe God's word. But he says, don't have fear, for I've overcome the world. He says, don't have fear, because I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So if you're going through some today, it's not like you're out of order with God. But you need to look to him to get you through it. This peace that Jesus brings into this world, right? One day he will reconcile it all. Evil will be slain and the devil will be thrown into the fire forever and ever and all eternity. He's going to make a new heaven, a new earth. I'm going to get an 8-pack. It's going to be awesome. That's not true, but we will get new bodies. Hallelujah. I don't know. Yeah, I'll get an 8-pack. And God will say, you could have had a 12-pack, but you only asked for 8. Whatever. Okay. This peace that the angels proclaimed, it was not about a declaration to end all strife and that all war is going to be done in this broken world. It was not a direct announcement that we will never again have another issue in our lives. No, church, it's much bigger and much more important than any of that. Through Jesus, the barrier of sin has been removed. Our greatest need has been met. We now can have a relationship. We can now have peace with God again. And that lasts further than this broken world. It's for all of eternity. What happens is foe into friend, dirty made clean, broken made whole, lost now found, alone into right relationship, enemy into sons and daughters of God. Jesus, Messiah, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, reconciles us back to God. Now, to understand the peace that is ushered in at Christmas time, we must understand that although Jesus arrived in a cradle, his life would lead to a cross. Jesus came and intentionally lived a sinless life to willingly offer his life through crucifixion. So that way, there would be peace and goodwill toward all men. Let me read Luke 2 again, 8 through 14. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version this time. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger." And suddenly there with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Amen. God's rescue mission was proclaimed from a multitude of angels. This rescue mission was a mission to send his son Jesus to lay in a manger, then to lay in a cross, then to lay in a tomb, but 3 days later, rise up, resurrected, and come back again soon. Because of this, we've been reconciled back to God. Peace, church, has been rescued. It's been rescued. Because of this, Jesus brought peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. Brent, will you please come? Church, Jesus crossed the chasm of heaven and earth to make peace with you. He did that by giving up his life and dying on a cross. The babe in a manger, he had a mission. It was to bring peace back to all mankind by living 33 and a half years to die on a cross for the sins of the world. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He came not that one shall perish. This morning, through communion, will you grab your communion cup? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to remember the price that has been paid to bring peace back to all mankind. Should have got one when he came in. Hopefully got one. If not, when your neighbor's not looking, just... I'm just playing. That's stealing. You need to come. The altar is open today. It's like, "Pastor, you told me to." No, but if you need one, will you raise your hand? We should have some extra ones out there. Okay. Rick will get it to you. Just keep your hand raised. What you're also doing is you're showing maybe you came in late. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now your hand's down. I'll do communion next month. Okay. Just keep your hand raised because you need a communion cup. And that's only it. Go ahead and take out your, on the bottom, you can just peel that and you get a little bread here. This morning, through communion, we're going to remember the price that's been paid to bring back peace to all mankind. Jesus alone is the author of peace. His life, death, and resurrection has purchased and fulfilled the greatest need this world has, and that's making us right with God again. Once foe, now friend. Once dirty, but now made clean. Once broken, but now made whole. I was lost, but I have been found. I was alone, but now I'm in a relationship. I was an enemy of God, but because of Jesus, I'm a son of God or a daughter of God. Peace, church peace, is here to stay. Will you please take your bread? Father, I thank you for sending your son 2,000 years ago to lay in a manger for us. We remember the price that was paid. We thank you for the babe that was laying in a manger. We thank you for the promise of the Messiah. We thank you for the promise of Emmanuel. We thank you for your son, Jesus. Our only way, it says in your word that he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. So I thank you for this body that had to be sacrificed. Came to this earth for us. He came to the earth for us. He died on a cross for us. He laid in a tomb for us, and he rose again for us. The power of sin and death has been broken by the blood and by the power of Jesus. And we thank you for that, and we remember. Thank you for bringing peace to our greatest need, and that's reconciling us back to the Father. It says that you are standing in the gap, Jesus. You're advocating for us. You're praying for us. You are standing there as our interpreter or our person that's in between us and God. We are, all our unrighteousness is made righteous. All our dirtiness is made clean, not because of what we've done, but because Jesus, what you've done. And we remember this morning, we thank you in Jesus' name. Please take your bread. All right, take your juice. Please. Go ahead and open it carefully. Jesus, we thank you. It says in your word, when you were in the garden, you already had a gift of wisdom and a gift of knowledge of what was taking place and going to take place. You already knew the reason why you were sent here on earth. You already knew the price that had to be paid for our salvation, for our righteousness, for our cleanliness, for us to have eternity again. You already knew, and you said in the garden, if this cup can pass from me, let it. But if not, let your will be done. Your blood was poured out for us. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to be a hero and die for the villain. I don't know what it's like to die for people who are enemies of you. I don't know what it's like, but I want to say thank you this morning. We remember that you loved us before we loved you, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You were willing to pay the ultimate price so we could have peace here on earth and peace in heaven for all of eternity. You're a good God. You're a great God. It says in your word, Father, you're a good gift giver. You give good gifts to your children. A lot of us are going to get gifts this Christmas, but there's no greater gift than the Son of God for us, and reconciliation and peace in our hearts, minds, souls, and for the rest of eternity. Thank you for the greatest gift. We remember in Jesus' name. Amen. You may partake. Hallelujah. Now, if you're sitting, there should be a little spot for you to put this. If you're in the front row, it's behind you. If you're in the back row, put it in your pocket. Hallelujah. That row. Make sure you wash your clothes, because that might be a stain that won't come out. Praise God. Church, this is a good season for so many. This is a great season. But I want you to open your eyes during this season. to see the ones that are hurting and lost and broken, the ones that don't have peace in their life, and be willing to give them the message of reconciliation. They might not even know it, but their greatest need is Jesus to reconcile them back to God. Does that mean they'll never have a trial or tribulation in their life again? Absolutely not. But they will have hope, they will have peace, they will have joy, and they will have love that this world could never offer. I want to pray for you before we go and we sing a song here in a moment. I want to pray that God's going to open your spiritual eyes this season and your spiritual heart to see more than what's just in front of you, okay? And also that the Holy Spirit would reveal to your own heart the brokenness that you need to give Him so you can have peace in your life. It's there, but you have to have faith in God to believe. Stand on His Word, and His peace will usher into your life like you've never known before. Amen? Will you stand as I pray for you? Worthy, worthy are you, God. Spirit of living God, I thank you that your presence is here with us today. I ask for everybody who's standing in this place and anybody who's watching online and anybody can hear my voice. I pray the peace of God that surpasses our understanding would fall upon them in a supernatural way, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, all the way out to their fingertips. Feel them right now. Fill them with the presence of the power of the mighty God. Give them peace. Peace everlasting. God, as the peace of God falls upon them in the midst of all their troubles and trials and insecurities and pains and sicknesses and all the stuff they go back to and all the things that they'll even deal with as they go in here, and their mind is all over the place, their heart is broken, and their souls are in anguish. There's so much going on and there's so many things, but God, there is peace that is everlasting. We pray that peace be upon them. May you open their eyes to see the ones that are going through a hard time in this season. Let them be generous with their life, generous with their finances, generous with their talents, generous with their words. Maybe somebody close to them just needs a hug and looked in the eyes and been told, it's going to be okay. You need something? I'm here for you. God sent me here to give you a hug today, just to say that He loves you. He's going to get you through it if you ask Him. Lord, I pray for eyes to see, for more that's in front of us than we see with our natural eyes. God, I pray for our hearts to be open, to see more and to feel more and to understand more of what people are going through. There's a lot of people in our life that we could look as maybe enemies, but maybe they're just hurting people that need the love of God. And you're asking us to step out of the boat and trust you and to say something and do something to break that anger and frustration, to break that insecurity, to break that depression, that unforgiveness, and to bring God's love into that situation, to bring a peace between us and others. I thank you, Jesus, that you came for all relationships. First and foremost, our relationship back to the Father, but also our relationship with one another, and to make us right in our hearts again with ourselves. You're the God of wholeness, and you can make us whole. Lord, we love you. We trust you. We can't do it without you. We thank you for your peace. We love you in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Amen, church. Let's sing together before we go. And then love on somebody as you cross them this week. Wherever you're at, if you go to Walmart, there's a lot of love that needs to be in Walmart. Okay? Amen.